Thank you, Robin. Our final set of news stories for today's recording begins with a village's stolen sign reappearing after being missing for 7 years. A village sign stolen from one of Norfolk's smallest villages has been found hundreds of miles away 7 years after it first went missing. The handmade sign of Brunstead, also known somewhat confusingly as Brumstead, had stood at the entrance to the village for more than 30 years and devastated locals when it disappeared in 2018. Now, in a strange turn of events, the honesty of an antique dealer from Lincolnshire means it will soon be returned to its rightful home. Andy Whitmell, who runs a workshop in Grimsby, Lincolnshire, purchased the sign for £80 at a large antique show last year. Oblivious to its tainted past, he discovered the murky origins after researching the purchase and stumbling on an article in the Norwich Evening News detailing the theft. He then contacted Humberside Police, who in turn messaged the paper to say it was looking into the matter. The sign, which is around 3 feet across, had previously stood by the main road of the village between Stalham and Walcott. Its design, a man on horse-drawn rake, was inspired by the former village pub, the Orchard Farm. Mr. Whitmell now plans to return it to its rightful home.
The former lead singer of one of the biggest punk rock bands of the 70s and 80s is coming to Norwich on tour. Hugh Cornwell of The Stranglers fame will play at Epic Studios alongside special guests The Courettes. On November the 6th, he will kick off his UK tour, playing all of the band's biggest hits, including Golden Brown, Strange Little Girl, Always the Sun, Peaches, and No More Heroes. As leader of the Stranglers, Cornwell was the main songwriter of all the band's most memorable songs across 10 albums. Cornwell left the band in 1990 to pursue his solo career and has been playing at sold-out gigs for more than 30 years. In 2004, the remaining members of the Stranglers recorded an album entitled Norfolk Coast, with the artwork shot on Hunstanton Beach in the summer of 2003. The Courettes is a group from Denmark and Brazil, featuring a guitarist and a drummer who perform a blend of genres, including Motown and R&B. Tickets are available now and they start at £32.50.
It was once known as the Crew of Norfolk for its train tracks that carried passengers and goods across the county and beyond. Now, the village of Melton Constable is putting its railway pass back on the map with a new set of signs celebrating its steam-powered heyday. The small community of around 600 people near Holt once served as a key junction to four vital rail lines that linked Norfolk to the Midlands. The station was demolished in 1971, but four of the five new signs being installed are seeking to ensure the village's locomotive-laden history is not forgotten. The signs have been thoughtfully crafted to reflect the unique character and history of Melton Constable, said Amanda Jacobian, the village clerk. It ensures that both residents and visitors are greeted with a vibrant and welcoming atmosphere. An archway made from metal salvaged from the old railway junction has also been refurbished. The project was commissioned by sign writer Warren Drew, who lives in the village, and charged less than £2,000 for the entire project. The signage is now set to play a big part in the upcoming Railway History Festival.
The landlady of one of the UK's best-loved pubs has shared her delight as it's named once again among the nation's favourites. Neat Little, age 69, has run the Alexandra Tavern, known to locals as the Alex, on the corner of Stafford Street and Gladstone Street in NR2 for 40 years. In 2025 alone, the pub has been named among the UK's best in the British Airways magazine High Life, the European Bar Guide of the 100 Best Bars and Pubs in Europe, and in the Daily Telegraph's 500 Best Pubs in England. Ms. Little said, It's been an amazing media year for us. I'm flabbergasted. Long may it last. It's very complimentary. Despite receiving a significant amount of international press this year, not a lot has changed at the pub in the last few decades, Ms. Little said. There are always small changes being made, but our core values remain the same as they did 40 years ago.
A nuclear bunker that was used during the Cold War is opening to the public for the first time in more than 30 years. The bunker at RAF Neasehead, near Horning, was first used by the military in September 1941 and has been closed for more than three decades. It will reopen during Remembrance Week for an exhibition called Searching for Home, which has been curated by Anya Vero. Schoolchildren, veterans, and serving members of the armed forces are being invited between November 12th and 14th to learn more about the bunker and contribute to its artwork. In February 1966, a fire broke out at the bunker and some doors were welded shut, leading to it being closed from 1975 to 1980. After restoration work, the bunker was used again from 1985 as part of Britain's air defences until it was closed around 30 years ago. The bunker's opening marks the culmination of years of improvement works across the entire RAF Neasehead site, which is home to the RAF Air Defence Radar Museum.
Finally, a city school is to receive a donation of 100 high-visibility jackets. The donation to Firside Junior School has been made by KLM UK Engineering, which has a long-standing partnership with the school. The engineering company said the jackets were given to improve safety for the pupils. The jackets were provided to an entire year group, with a couple also given to staff members. Abigail Dustin, sales and marketing executive at KLM UK Engineering, said, "When Firside Junior School shared their need to replace crucial PPE equipment, we jumped at the opportunity to improve safety within our community too." Lucy Seagrave, assistant head of the school, said, "We're really grateful for the new PPE, which has been donated and organised by KLM UK."
We're now arrived at the end of this edition of Chatterbox, and we hope you have enjoyed it. As usual, we remind you that when you have finished with the recording, turn the address label in the wallet over and pop in the memory stick and drop it in a postbox. Don't forget that you do not have to pay any postage at all, as the postal service is free.
I'm sure we all thank the whole team of over a dozen loyal volunteers who've produced today's edition. The editor was Ian Gorst, and the sound recordist was Simon Pitt. If you'd like to let us know anything about the items you've heard today, whether you've enjoyed them or not, as the case may be, you can call us on 01603 765 365. Once again, that's Norwich 765 365. As I'm sure you know, the office is not staffed every day, so if there's no reply, do leave a message on the answer phone and we will get back to you as soon as we can. You can also send us an email at contact@cbtn.org.uk. And with that, it's time to go. So from me, John Francis, and from Marianne Penn, it's goodbye.